desire and interest in your prayers this morning as we look in the Word of God. Last week, I was up in Canada for services, and my sister gave a Sunday school lesson, and we had traveled up together from Oregon. And as she gave her Sunday school lesson, I sat there, and where she ended up is where I started when I got up to preach. And I told them, I said, we didn't arrange this. And I will say the same thing this morning. Brother Justin and I didn't get together on the lessons. Seems like that happens quite frequently. The Lord deals in a very similar way. I'd like to speak about the cause this morning. And I wonder, as the Lord gave me the message on the title, I wasn't sure if I should put a cause. But there is, I want to talk about the cause this morning. Like to begin by sharing a little bit of history with you, and some of you will remember vividly how this in the news. But in 1989, many of you heard about the Tiananmen Square massacre. It took place in Beijing, China. There were a number of college students, actually hundreds of college students, that went on a hunger strike, one of the main squares there in Beijing, China, and they were protesting, calling for government accountability, as well as freedom of the press and freedom of the speech. They were wanting freedom, and so there were there many of them going hungry for many days. I believe this went on for 7 weeks there in Tiananmen Square, and other people in the city of China were coming and rallying around them, so it wasn't just the students, but there were hundreds and thousands of people demonstrating because they had a cause. And their cause was one of freedom. Well, the Chinese government was not in favor of those freedoms, nor were they in favor of that protest. And so they sent the military in. And before all was said and done, after 7 weeks of this sit-in protest, the army in on June 4th in 1989, we still don't know exactly how many people were killed because the government squashed it, but they say that there were at least hundreds of civilians, unarmed civilians killed by the military, if not thousands. The military went in and killed them, but these students, they were there because they had a cause. And many of them were willing to risk arrest. They were willing to risk imprisonment, many of them probably never knowing that they were going to actually end up losing their life for the cause that they were there in Beijing for. Bring a little bit closer to home, but a little bit further back in the late 70s, there were a lot of protests going on, especially on college campuses, of people protesting the Vietnam War. And I am not going to speak politically. I know some of those people that were protesting really didn't have a cause in mind. They were just protesting authority. There was many of those students especially were just feeling a little bit rebellious. It was a time of a lot of drugs and free love, as they called it. We're suffering in our society from that mentality today. But I want to give a little, many of you may remember the Kent State massacre that took place. Still, you go back and research Vietnam protests. Those are some of the pictures that you'll see of what happened at Kent State. In 1970, there had been a lot of students that were protesting. I believe it was the entrance into Cambodia. And it was right there tied in with Vietnam, and they were protesting this. And some of these students, it was more an act of rebellion. They lit some buildings on fire. They threw rocks at policemen. They were just causing a lot of upheaval. And the governor of the state of Ohio said, we're not going to tolerate this kind of rebellion. There is a proper way to express your disapproval of political action, but setting buildings on fire and turning cars over and throwing rocks at people in authority is not the way to do it, and we're going to squash this rebellion. I want to say this morning. When we have a cause, whether it be political or spiritual or, you know, religious causes, personal causes, there is an appropriate way to deal and handle a cause. And the Lord has given us instruction in how to deal with problems and how to deal when we have a cause in mind. But there at Kent State, there became almost a mentality of rebellion that took over that campus and in the townsmen. And so then the military, the Ohio National Guard was sent in. And on Kent State, after they had been told to disband, not all of them had disbanded, but there were students that were there not causing any trouble at the moment. And again, this is historical, and history is someone's interpretation of past events. I remember in history class in high school, it was drilled into us, history is not past events. History is someone's interpretation of past events. You can talk to different people, saw the same thing, and they'll tell you two radically different stories. But when the Ohio National Guard went in, as best I understand it, they went in and the students were not doing anything at the moment. But they had been told not to congregate, and they were congregating. And the Ohio National Guard ended up firing on those students. They knelt down and they fired onto that group of students, and there were 67 rounds fired onto those students. They killed 4 students and wounded 9 others. Well, apparently, 2 of those students that were killed were part of this gathering to protest. But 2 of the 4 that were killed were students that were walking from one classroom to another to do the responsible thing, to attend their classes, and they were killed by the Ohio National Guard having done nothing. Well, there were people there that were wounded for a cause. Some died for a cause. And there were other innocent victims that were killed because of what someone else was doing. It was mentioned in Sunday school this morning, and much was mentioned, so I won't just keep referencing Sunday school. But there are times, folks, when there is a cause that our cause is going to affect other people in life. Whether it be a good cause or a bad cause, you get a good cause, it can have positive influence on people in your life. But if it's a cause of rebellion, a cause because of a bad spirit, that also can kill people. It can give casualties. And people are wounded by the causes that we take up in life. There have been people in days of old that you can read. Just pick up Fox's Book of Martyr. You can just pick up your Bible. It's right here this morning. Of those that gave their life for the cause of Christ. There were those that would not be willing. They were given opportunity to recant their faith in Christ. All you have to do is say you don't believe in Jesus Christ. The men and women of old were willing to stand up for, I'm not just calling it a cause this morning, I'm going to say the cause of Jesus Christ, and said, I am not willing to bow down to your idols. And they were thrown to wild animals and devoured. There are those that were burned at the stake. There are those that believed in full immersion baptism and they experienced a third baptism. They were drowned to death. First baptism was infant baptism. Second baptism was a believer's baptism when they really gave their heart to God, and they had what they called the third baptism. They were drowned to death because of their faith in the cause of truth. Well, there is, and we're going to get to Scripture in a few minutes. You can look up a lot of causes that people have on. You can look up online, you can find. You know, there's a website, and I'm not encouraging you to go to it this morning, understand me. But there is a website called causes.com. And you can go there trying to solidify support for any cause that you want. And I went through and I just perused some of the causes. Save the Wells. Does that excite you this morning? Does that invigorate you to get up in the morning to sacrifice and give of yourself to save the wells? Be careful what tuna you eat, etc. Well, save the wells. Stop domestic violence. Sounds like a good cause, doesn't it? Stop child abuse. Give blood. Save a life. Stop global warming. Does that invigorate you to go face your day? Eradicate malaria. Now that starts to touch my heart too. Legalize same-sex marriage. Legalize marijuana. These are causes. I noticed on the website, and I actually wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. Work together to make a difference faster and more effectively. And at the very bottom of this website, it says, go ahead, find your cause. And I wonder this morning, do you have a cause? What is your cause? You know, when someone really has a cause, and I mentioned it's really what causes you, something that you're passionate about. It's something that causes you to be willing to sacrifice. It's something that causes, my billfold's not in my pocket. It's something that causes you to pull out your billfold and want to give because there's a cause I believe in. What is it that you're passionate about? I've noticed if you want to get to know someone, try to find what they're passionate about. Try to find out what their cause is. What is it that excites you this morning? What is it that invigorates you and stirs you inside? Well, there are causes that people have. Some people's cause is just, I want to do what feels good. Doesn't matter what the consequences are. It doesn't matter who I affect and who I hurt. I just want to do what feels good. Catering to the flesh, very selfish causes. There are some people that get up in the morning and go to bed late at night for no other reason that they want to make money. That's their cause. I want to make money. They will deny family. They will neglect their family and they excuse it by saying, we had worship about this at home the other night. But they excuse and justify neglecting their family by saying, well, I'm out providing a living for my family. Who are people to criticize me? I'm out working hard to provide for my family. Folks, family, there's a cause in family. And when we have a cause, it begins to dictate and change the decisions that we make in life. It adjusts our priorities when we have a cause. There's nothing wrong with making money, understand. But when we become obsessed with it, and it becomes a cause to us, we better be careful. There are some people that family is their cause. That's a good cause, isn't it? But they will go to any extreme to be able to spend time with family. And that's good. Again, there's a balance to causes. There's a balance to good causes. What is your cause? That website said, go ahead, find your cause. I would this morning that we be focused on the cause. I'd like to read you a very familiar passage of Scripture out of 1 Samuel, beginning in the 17th chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 17, we'll begin reading with verse 25. Do you remember David came to bring some food to his brothers? And they were there in battle with the Philistines. They weren't fighting at the time. They were milling. They were milling. They were afraid. They were scared. They were discouraged. They were downhearted. They had lost vision of the cause. David came along and kind of observed this, and he heard him talking about Goliath, and they asked him, they said, have you not seen this man in verse 25? Surely to defy Israel as he come up, and it shall be to the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Talk about a cause. If I can go out and kill the giant, I'll have riches and I get to marry the king's daughter and my father will have all that, be free in Israel. David looked on, and David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and take away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered out him after the manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. Now, I want us to understand, David was preparing, and as we read this story, David was like, I'll go and fight this, man. I'll go do it. And his brother was there to try to tear down his cause. Listen to what his brother said. When he heard how he spake to the men, Eliab answered and was, his anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? Who are you to come and try to make us feel bad because we're not in the cause? We're not fighting for the cause. We're discouraged, we're afraid, we're disheartened, and we're not doing anything but sitting under the tree." And David said, "Why are you doing this? Why are you..." And Eliab began to get on to him, and he said, "I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thy heart. Thou art come down that thou mayest see the battle." In other words, they were tearing down his cause. "You're just doing it because you're proud." Do you realize that when you serve the Lord, there's going to be people that will accuse you of being self-righteous? There will be people that try to tear down your devotion to the cause of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage us this morning and know this, that the devil is going to battle every cause of God that he can. Because the enemy wants us just to start milling aimlessly. Looking on the battle, looking on the trial, saying, "I can't go forward and I don't know what to do." But David was not discouraged. And David went on to say, as you read in verse 29, David said, "What have I now done? Why are you getting on to me?" He said, "Is there not a cause? Is there not something worth fighting for?" And David went out to battle, and we won't take the time to read it all, but you read on down. And when David went out to fight Goliath, you remember how he went out? He went out in the name of the Lord. He said, "This assembly shall know," in verse 47, "This, all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you unto our hand." Folks, that was David's cause. I want God to be glorified. People were looking on and they saw Israel as being, you're cowed down. You're supposed to be God's country, so to speak, and you're in defeat. And David said, "Is there not a cause?" I ask us again this morning, do we have a cause? Is there something that motivates you to be who you are and what you are? You know what happens when people don't have a cause is people tend to start getting lazy when there's no cause. Whether it's a good cause or bad cause, I'm just speaking about a cause now. People start getting lazy because they don't have any motivation. If they're not real interested in making any money, it's difficult to be motivated to get up and go to work. If you don't want to be educated and you don't really care about school and that's not a cause, there's not a lot of motivation to get up and do your schoolwork. Well, life is pretty dull when there's not a cause. Do you know that? A cause brings anticipation. It brings invigoration. It brings purpose. It brings purpose. I remember as a young person or a child, and I didn't look it up. I don't need to look it up. I don't think it came from a real good place. And I don't know if it was a music group or a song, but I remember the little phrase as a young person or as a child hearing, "They're a rebel without a cause." Have you ever heard that? They're a rebel without a cause. In other words, it was talking about people that were just rebellious for the sake of rebellion, and they didn't even really have a cause. It was kind of a mob mentality. You see a group protesting, and this happens frequently. You find protesters, you go and interview some of them, you're going to find some of them don't even know what they're there for. It's just, "I'm just being part of the group." And they're protesting, and "Oh, do this and that." And you come and talk to them, "Well, I really don't know what the issues are." Do you know that we can do that with good causes and with bad causes? You can join yourself. They did it with Jesus. One day they were saying, "Hosanna," in worshiping, "The King is here." They were worshiping Christ, and within just a short amount of time, those same people were saying, "Crucify Him." I believe that a lot of those people really didn't know what they were saying, whether it was good or bad. Well, we can join cause without knowing it. You know, we can come to services and we can be part of the group. We can be part of the saints in our geographical, physical location. We can be part of the saints, but really not have it down in our heart what's going on. And what happens when we join ourselves to a cause? that we really don't believe in is when trouble comes, we tend to run away. And it's part of the reason the men of Israel fled is because they didn't have a cause. If they would have believed that this is God's battle, I believe they would have gone out with courage and said, I'm going to fight. Well, there have been many people that have been arrested for a cause. But you know, those that don't really believe in it, when they see the police coming, they head the other way. I don't believe in it enough to go to jail for it. But I wonder this morning, with the cause of Christ, how much do we believe in His cause? How much do we really believe that what the Bible teaches, these truths that we talk about and we teach about and preach about, how much do we really believe in this cause? This is the cause I would encourage us to consider this morning. It is important for us to believe in the cause of Jesus Christ. A deep-seated belief in truth. A deep-seated belief in what's in our heart. And when temptation comes, and when problems come, and when difficulties come, when you believe in the cause, you're not going to be easily swayed. When you come, and if the police come and gonna arrest everybody, I believe in the cause enough to go to jail for it. I believe in the cause enough to endure difficulty because I believe in the truth. I believe in holy living. I believe that what the Bible teaches is right. How much do we believe in it? When we go out into the world, all of us are tempted. There are things that pull on all of us as strong powers and influences in our world today. We need to have such a devotion to the cause of God that we will be able to stand in front of temptation and say no to it. Because I believe in a greater cause. I believe in the cause of Christ. Jesus had a cause and it was worth dying for, and His cause was His love for us this morning. He loved us enough that He was willing to die for it. A belief in God, a belief in His way, that will change our life. You know, people that adopt a cause, it changes their life. It changes their priorities. It changes where they spend their money. There are people that give thousands and thousands of dollars a year to save the wells. If that's your cause, you want to save the wells, that's okay. There's a place, that's all right. But do you know there's a greater cause this morning? There is a cause of God. There's work that God has for us to do as a people this morning. And I would that we believe in that cause. I would that we be stirred with a greater purpose and devotion to that cause. Read this morning, I believe, in Sunday school, where there is no vision, what happens? The people perish. Where people lose their vision or lose their purpose. Lose what it means to have a cause. Because when you lose your vision, you begin to lose purpose. And the trials of life come, disappointments come, life happens. And in our causes, if we're not careful, it will cause us just to kind of get in a state of mundaneness. This kind of mundane, and I'm just making it through life, and there's problems and battles, and I'm just doing all I can to survive. Just to make it to the next day. But folks, there is a cause that can stir us to get up in the morning and face another day. I believe in God. I believe in His way. I believe in holiness. I believe in the work that God has given us to do as a people. Lord, help us not to lose our vision. Lord, help us not to forget, because it's important to have a cause again for family and work, but there is a higher cause. And this is what I believe happened at Ephesus and the Laodiceans is they got lukewarm. They lost their first love. It was two congregations. One got lukewarm, the other said they lost their first love. They lost their purpose. They lost their cause, because when you have a real cause, it's something that stirs you. And the Scripture teaches us to be fervent in spirit. That means glowing. It means hot. Have you ever come to service and sung a song and maybe you didn't just feel real stirred and you got to the end of the song? I've done this before. I'll acknowledge it. And you get to the end of the song and it's like, what did I just sing? and you were just kind of going through the motions. You know, I think we all have some times like that, but it ought to be a caution to us. The Lord wants us to be fervent in spirit serving the Lord. Now, service, this service within these four walls is a small part of it. What about when we go home? We go to school, go to work, have things at home to do. What is our cause then? There is a cause that is bigger than me and is bigger than you. There's a cause of God. And the Lord wants us to shape our life around His cause. Be in love so much we're willing to sacrifice and give of ourselves. Over in 2 Corinthians in the 7th chapter, in the 9th verse, he said, I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. He's talking about, I remember the time when you gave your heart to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 9. And he said, you were made sorry after a godly manner that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness. You remember you had a cause. You remember when you first got saved? You remember when you felt that burning love of God and that devotion? And I remember the Lord saved me and it just seemed like the grass was a little greener and the sun was a little bit brighter and everybody loved me just a little bit more. You remember those times? You first got saved. And how careful. It's like, I don't want anything to hinder my salvation. I don't want an attitude. I don't want a bad spirit. I don't want unforgiveness. I don't want a lack of love. The places I go, the things I do, I don't want that to hinder this connection I have with God. And that's what Paul was saying. He said, do you remember when? He said, remember what carefulness it wrought in you. What clearing of yourself. How quick we were to say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. I'll be more careful. What indignation against sin and wrong. What fear, what vehement desire, what zeal. Do you remember those times? There is a cause this morning. And when we give our life to the cause of Christ, we're going to be devoted and there's going to be zeal and passion. And I would this morning, and I just encourage us, when we get up tomorrow morning, let's remember there's a cause. There's a reason we can get up and face the day. Lord, I still believe in the cause of Christ. I still believe. We sing, used to that song went around, no, maybe we could just sing the one, I think it's in the chorus. You know the chorus well enough to sing it? No ground, there's a cause worth fighting for. Is that right? We've got a cause worth fighting for. You know it well enough to sing verse or the chorus. Not a cause worth fighting for, devil, we're not gonna take no more, no ground, we're giving up no ground, we're absolutely, positively glory bound, we're not giving up no ground. Do we have a cause? I'm not gonna give up ground. I'm not gonna give in, I'm not gonna let go, I'm not gonna let down, but we've got a cause this morning. On a personal level, I still believe what the Scripture says, 1 Peter 1:15, when it says, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. There is a cause of holiness this morning, and the enemy, the world, is battling hard against that cause. In the attitudes, in our spirits, from the outward man to the things we involve ourselves in. Folks, the only way we're going to see God is to live a holy life. In every area, pure, clean, homogeneous, the same throughout. Dedicated, sanctified, consecrated. That's what holy means. And without holiness, we won't see the Lord. Let's be devoted to that cause this morning, the cause of holiness. You know, that means then it's more than just coming to church. It's more than saying, well, this is who I worship with. This is a cause that we want to be devoted to. And you know, when you're devoted to a cause, when you see the police coming, you disband or we're going to take you to jail. I believe in the cause. Go ahead and lock me up. Hey, do whatever you want to me, but I believe in the cause. Do you know the Lord wants us to have that spirit with the cause of holiness? That, Lord, I'm going to serve you in holiness, regardless of people and situations and battles and trials, Lord, because I believe in the cause of holiness, the cause to go to heaven. Isn't there a cause this morning? Is there not a cause this morning? Heard about in Sunday school. And then there is a cause, a collective cause that I want to touch on before we conclude. A cause that is beyond myself. We live in a time that the devil is battling hard for us to think that the Church of God, it has the name on the sign out there, Church of God. Folks, the sign isn't what makes us the Church of God. What makes us the Church of God is the cause. That's what makes us who we are. That's what should define us as a people, is the cause of God. And we live in a time that people are just saying, it's just another church. It's a church among churches. You know, believe what you want, go where you want, and this is just another church. But folks, the Scripture still teaches us that there is one church. There is a cause there. That the Lord wanted His people when Jesus prayed. He prayed that for the unity of His people. He prayed that they wouldn't be divided and scattered, but He prayed that the believers would be one as He and God were one. Folks, there is a cause. There is a cause of unity. There's a cause of the church this morning, and it's bigger than me. It's kind of like in marriage. You know, we can have an individual cause. This is what I want to do. This is my cause. But if I recognize that what I want to do is going to be a hindrance to my marriage, I need to recognize that my marriage is a higher cause. You understand what I'm saying? So sometimes I'm going to give up an individual desire or an individual cause for the greater good of the collective cause in marriage. I believe the same thing holds for the church. There is a cause of unity. There is a cause of the church, a cause of oneness, a cause to work for. Mark 16:15, and Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. The work of God, folks, is a cause. And this is not just for one or two. I believe this is a collective cause that will enable us to get under a burden for the work of the Lord, to get under a burden to sacrifice and give of ourselves and do whatever the Lord wants, because there is a cause that we believe in. When you have a cause, we're not ashamed of it, are you? If you were trying to eradicate malaria, would you be ashamed to go talk to people about it? There's a cause that we can do something about it. Would you be willing to make a donation? Would you give some time? Would you help? What about the work of God? What about the cause of the church, the cause of holiness in our individual life? Folks, there is a cause. This is the cause that the Lord wants us to give our life to. I will say, it is the cause during the storms of life. It is the cause through Jesus Christ that has enabled me when I wanted to stay down to get back up. You understand what I'm saying? When the storms come, and it would be easier to say, you saved the wells. You know what I'm talking about? There is a cause this morning. I would that we go from here this morning with a greater belief and purpose. Let's follow the cause of Christ. Let's dedicate ourselves to it. And sometimes when it gets beyond ourselves, remember there's a greater cause, and it's the cause of Christ. And I want Him to be glorified. That's what our cause revolves around. It's the cause of Jesus Christ. His way, His truth, His Spirit. So Lord, help us to devote ourselves, that He wouldn't look down and see us sleeping, but that He would see us fervent and desirous doing our Father's business. Amen.